of our opening is profound thanks to the state employees who did a really terrific job this week. NDOT, obviously, and the state police, but also the guard and the Department of Natural Resources. We even had the Department of Corrections even chipped in with some offender labor to get snow away from some of the places where we need to provide vital public services. So it was a good team effort, and a ton of hard work went into it, and I'm sure it didn't go unnoticed by many of our fellow citizens.
Governor, the budget that the House Democrats rolled out yesterday includes the proposal for the Comptroller General. What's your reaction to that? Is that in an office that should be created?
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
Basically, what they're proposing is the equivalent of the CBO on particular privatization contracts.
I have to look at it to see.
I guess I'm asking more in terms of the principle. Is there a need for additional legislative oversight?
Oversight's a good idea. It would have been good to have some oversight as we had the worst years of the worst protection of children in America, the worst welfare system in America. But there are legislative oversight is very important, and that's what the standing committees of the General Assembly are for, and I think they should be used actively, more actively than they were in the past.
The budget also prohibits you from leasing out the lottery. What's your reaction to that?
Well, there are two theories or possibilities. One is that the Democratic Party really doesn't care about the brain drain, doesn't care about higher education, doesn't care about the jobs of the future that we seek to bring about in Indiana. The second possibility, the one I prefer to believe, is they're just setting up for some horse trading later. This is very early innings, and so it's way too early to get excited about that or any such step.
Where do you think things stand now with property taxes? And given the problems in the House, do you think that this issue might stall?
I really don't think so. I think it's a high priority for both parties. Once again, it's too early to anybody to panic or get too excited. And I believe you'll see this issue rejoined, and both sides have an interest. I have an interest in seeing progress made.
Are you bothered that none of the Republicans in the House will vote for that bill in order to keep it alive?
The Speaker made a good point some time ago. He said this session would be about compromise. And he and his allies were completely unwilling to compromise. They slam dunked every Republican amendment, as I understand it, so they shouldn't be surprised that at least on this round, the minority didn't rush to embrace their bill. But there's lots of time left and lots of points in the process for this issue to get rejoined, and probably in a spirit of greater compromise, which the Speaker himself has pointed out is the way to make progress.
Broker some sort of compromise to get something out of the House?
No, I had another good long talk with the Speaker, and of course I've talked with other members, and I can just report to you that the interest in finding a way forward is still there on both sides, but you all can see legislative maneuvering when it's in front of you, and that's what I think this was. And again, it's early in the process, and there's lots of time and lots of ways for a solution to be found.
How sure are you that there is interest in finding a solution? Because afterwards, there was a slew of news releases that went out saying, you know, Representative so-and-so saved you from a tax increase. The tax increase they're talking about is giving local governments flexibility to raise other taxes. And
well,
that's a good idea.
Well, I had said, and I still believe, that the Speaker's proposal had some good features in it, had some features that weren't so good. There was a whopping big net tax increase in there. And he could have had some Republican votes, I think, if he had worked out a way to moderate that. But that's one of the improvements that will probably be necessary before we get to a solution.
Talking about the corporate tax?
I think when you net the whole thing out, there was far too little property tax relief and a net tax increase, a substantial one. And I don't think it was unfair or surprising that some folks felt they couldn't vote for that. But those are, there's lots of room for improvement and lots of time.
The Republicans say that they won't vote for anything that doesn't give all of the money to tax relief. Do you think, which would not give local governments any new money, is that a good idea?
I think somewhere between that point of view and the big tax increase that the Speaker proposed, there's going to be grounds for compromise.
Yesterday, Minority Leader Bosman talked about a lot of bills are coming out that we're spending money.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned about the amount of money that's coming out spending. Obviously, you're watching that as well. Do you have anything to say about that?
His concern is well placed. Still taking it apart, but the budget proposal yesterday was far too large a spending by the Democratic Party, a very large spending increase, wouldn't balance, has some gimmicks in it, so it would need some improvement too. But it's an opening bid, and I think everybody should see it for that. I have really only one firm line, as I've said before, for this year, and that is a budget that is honestly balanced and limits spending to less than the revenue that'll be coming in. And at the end of the day, I think we'll get there.
Governor, the Democrats claim that their budget spends less than yours and is balanced. So can you shed some more light on what you just said there?
Well, OMB will show you that it's at least 5.5%. It also has, the kind of gimmickry that we have to put an end to. 0% for Medicaid is not an honest provision. We are going to take care of needy people and their health care needs in this state. And it will take tremendous management again to contain growth even to the 5% in our budget. But putting in a zero when you know more money than that is going to be spent is not honest. And so that's one of the features that I think will have to be fixed as we move forward.
What do you think about how the budget stacks up in terms of education? Your full day kindergarten, but also overall spending?
No, I thought that this is positive and in consistent with my objectives. We proposed 3% plus full day kindergarten. They proposed, I think, 4%, and that would be fine with me if it could be done consistent with an honestly balanced budget. And those are certainly the same priorities I have, and so I have only compliments for that general idea.
What do you make of the budget putting together a lot of maybe things that Democrats would like to negotiate through the session?
Mm-hmm.
Tuition freeze, free textbooks, or 100% funding for textbooks, those types of privatization issues.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any problem with them grouping it all together? Do you see it as these are the things they want to talk about before you get out of here?
I think that's an accurate assessment. As I said, they're setting up for horse trading later on. Two, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think this should be seen as an essentially political document at this stage. And they're entitled to do that. And that's why I don't think anybody should overreact to any one proposal in it or to the fact that it spends too much money and doesn't balance. At this stage in the process, I think it's fairly typical for parties to advance their ideas in something like that fashion.
One of the things it has in it is the tuition cap
mm-hmm.
for universities, and Republicans in the House also propose a tuition cap. Do you think that's a good idea? Would you like to see the General Assembly do that?
I'm skeptical of price controls wherever they show up, but I would be prepared to work with the General Assembly on this. It is a widely shared concern, and just as I have asked and I think received fair consideration of the ideas we've put forward, I owe it to people in the General Assembly not to rush to judgment on theirs.
Do you think the state can afford free textbooks for needy kids? Do you think there's a way that could end up in the final budget?
I wouldn't say no. It's a matter of priorities, and if it can be accommodated within the one and only one firm guideline that I have, an honestly balanced budget, which means capping spending around 4%, then I'd sign such a budget, but something else would have to give, it appears. I have to give the same answer that I have on other questions. I owe it to people in the General Assembly to give a respectful and careful listen to their ideas. My views about expanding gaming on a net basis are, I think, pretty clear, and I haven't changed them, but I'm told that some folks think you could do this in a way that reduces gaming elsewhere and does not expand it. And let's see if that's possible.
Governor, on the issue of property taxes, I know you said that this is kind of, you want the legislative process to kind of work itself out. Well, the House Democrats came out with their property tax plan, and through some 20, 27 amendments, the House Republicans came out with their plan. So now that both sides have their ideas on the table, what is your stance on what you would like to see in this plan?
It hasn't changed, Theodore. I'd like to see real property tax relief. I'd like to see more local flexibility, and as the principal means of getting there. And I'm very open to the idea of, over time at least, lifting some expenses now on the property tax to the state. And so there are elements of those, I think, in both parties' proposals. I don't think either one is perfect. And meanwhile, Senator Kenley's working down, I think, a pretty constructive trail. It's slightly different. I think there are all sorts of ways to mix and match and find a compromise before the end of the session.
Right. So out of those components, I mean, what would be your dream bill?
One that both parties can agree on, that does reduce property taxation without reverting to the shell game of raising state taxes indefinitely to subsidize local spending.
Yesterday a bill went through the Roads and Transportation Committee, the House Roads and Transportation Committee, that would take about $60 million out of the major roads construction fund and move it to cities and towns for working on their roads. How do you feel about that?
I think it's well-intentioned, but it doesn't look prudent to me. First of all, as you may recall, we did carve out $150 million from the Major Moves transaction. The second installment of that is going out this year for local roads needs. So I agree with the need, and I've said many times that it's important to remember we have problems at the local level too. But at this stage, I think it would be very imprudent. I've always said the biggest concern about Major Moves was the cookie jar problem, and it's not a good idea to start taking funds that are now pledged to roads projects that have been promised to Hoosiers for a long time. You know, if you start taking money out, even for a good purpose, you're going to have to start canceling once again projects that we have finally found a way to pay for. So, but I think it does aim at a real problem. And I've said before, Major Moves didn't fix every transportation need for all time. And I would like to get to the point where out of general funds we could help localities once again in a bigger way with their own road needs.
Mr. Governor, you mentioned that you haven't looked at the budget, but it does include provisions that call for legislative comptroller general and also puts restrictions on feasibility studies before outsourcing, in addition to the lottery provisions. What kind of a message do you think that's sending, or that the House Democrats are trying to send, and what's your reaction to that?
It's a very anti-taxpayer, pro-big government message. And so there's no other way to read it, and it's not a good idea.
How is that anti-taxpayer?
Every time we have contracted for a service, we have saved a lot of money for the taxpayers, tens of millions of dollars, and in the reform of the worst welfare system in America, $1 billion over the next 10 years. Throwing up roadblocks to that sort of thing, when the ample tools already exist through the legislative standing committees, is bad practice. I'm unaware of any state where there are hurdles like that to serving the taxpayer better and getting stretching taxpayer dollars.
Could you elaborate on the standing tools, or I mean the existing tools in the legislative standing committees?
Just as in every legislature I know, the committees can call departments under their jurisdiction in any time they want to, ask them all the tough questions they want to, and they should do that. As I said, it would have been nice to have more oversight. In the years when Indiana ran up the worst welfare, most wasteful welfare system in America, had the worst welfare to work system, was endangering the lives of children, where was the oversight then? And the mechanisms were there.
Thank you.
In terms of the oversight on the, it says for P3s, you can't do a feasibility study unless your bill is passed by the legislature authorizing. Would that at all hinder the study NDOT and IDOT have said they're going to do 1 million?
Well, P3s may be a little different. Here we're not talking about the ongoing operation of government. We are talking about new projects done in a new way. And here you do need legislative permission and agreement, and I think I've been consistent in welcome. We've asked for it in the Ileana bill, and I've said that, and I've visited with a lot of legislators about various review mechanisms that would keep the legislature involved as you move through study to a possible project. So I do see that as very different. Sometimes I think these concepts get meshed together in a way that may confuse citizens, but the P3 or public-private partnership for a capital project, I think, is and should be seen in a different way.
And as the bill now has left the Senate, have you talked to anyone in the House about ways you could make it more agreeable to them to get it through the process in terms of amendments, changes? One scenario I heard of was the Ileana putting in a clause that if the bid price is greater than the cost of building the road, that you would maybe allocate that money for some sort of public transportation.
Very open to these sorts of things, and somebody ought to think about that subject, because it's, and as I mentioned before, it's quite conceivable that either of these projects, if they move forward, might generate not just a free road, but also some premium to the state, and someone in the legislature needs to be thinking about what could be done with that. Perhaps it's an answer to local road needs, or it could be dedicated to specific projects. You know, the South Shore comes to mind in the case of Ileana. But so yes, I've had conversations like that, and I do think that it ought to be thought about now. Not just because it might attract more votes, but because it's an important question.
Governor, going back to the budget for a second, K through 12 and higher ed, that's where a lot of the action is in the budget. Generally, kind of at your first glance, are you happy with the way those two components of the budget
crafted? Let me just say, I have only seen a rough outline. I haven't on the specific question of education. As I said once before, it reflects the same priorities I have. By far, the biggest items in the budget we proposed were support for education, the system we have, and full-day kindergarten. Those seem to be reflected, and even more so in this budget. And as I said, if more could be accommodated than I proposed and still have an honest balance, that'd be fine with me. I think it is important. We have the first balanced budget, now two of them, in 10 years, and that's a start. We have paid back the schools, and that's a second step. But we are not done with the business of repairing Indiana's fiscal condition. We should pay back the universities and the localities, and we should strengthen the reserves in the rainy day fund. And so we need to have a good discussion about the importance of that versus some of the extra spending that is now being proposed. It was totally foreseeable that the minute we got back in the black, money would start burning a hole in folks' pockets, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, somebody has to add it all up, and I do believe that paying off our debts is very important and shouldn't be set aside just because we have gotten back to the black after so long.
The health plan was passed by the Public Health Committee, pretty different from yours in that instead of relying on private companies that keep things safe. Is that, say, deal breaker for you, and how do you feel about where the cigarette tax is standing now?
I think the cause of providing health insurance to those Hoosiers without and reducing smoking and immunizing children took a big step forward this week, and I applaud those who took it. I do think if we're going to really cover a large number of people and the maximum possible number of people, then the power account, more consumerist approach is very important. We will cover far fewer, would cover far fewer people with what I would call an old-fashioned approach than we could going the route that we have set forward. So I think that is an important point. But the communications, I think, have been great. And I want to compliment Chairman Brown and the others who, on a bipartisan basis, did take this step forward this week. It was an important event.
Senator, do you have any thoughts on that? Rewrite of the tweaking of the Senate bill on the lottery.
I thought they were constructive thoughts. My goal is simply to work against the brain drain, to help Hoosier students get to college and stay in state if that's their choice, and to strengthen our institutions of higher education so that they help create more of the jobs of the future that will keep our kids here. And there are a lot of ways to approach that goal, these changes all head in the same direction. If the legislature thinks they're improvements on what I suggested, they're probably right.
You know, if those changes win enough support to get the bill out of the
Senate? I don't know. I don't know. But again, that's what the process is for, and I'm very open on this or other of our priorities to changes that build greater consensus in the legislature. The very best way to fight the brain drain, to cover uninsured Hoosiers, to achieve full-day kindergarten is with the broadest and bipartisan support.
Governor, there's some efforts, especially I think coming from some people in the Senate, not to have a cigarette tax increase to fund health insurance, but instead to look at some other things like slots. Now, that only seems to get halfway what you want. Mm-hmm. Is cigarette tax an essential part of this?
As I always have said, the cigarette tax is an essential part of reducing the second highest rate of smoking in America. We will not bring down the second highest rate of smoking with some of the least expensive cigarettes in America. That's just a scientifically proven fact. And I literally would be for that increase if it raised no money at all. It does raise money, and I listened to and I agreed with those who said if you are ever due, then that money should be reinvested in better health of Hoosiers. So I do think that's both the fairest and wisest way forward. But a higher cost for tobacco products is essential unless we want to resign ourselves to a 27% plus rate of smoking in Indiana.
If you take the Medicaid flatlining, I think that's over $200 billion, and the non-payments to the schools, have you done any kind of assessment by how much you think that this budget is out of balance over the biennium?
Well, OMB's working on one for us, and it'll be available to you as soon as they're done. They think they can count, they told me, at least a 5.6% increase, but they think there are other increases they haven't quantified yet. So it's going to be too much spending and would take us back to the red as it sits there by a clear margin, but I don't have it. But you're available. It will be available to you as soon as our folks think they have made an accurate calculation, and I think that'll be today. I'm hoping to see it today.
On the lottery for a second, this has always been a contentious program about the brain drain. The Senate throws in police and fire pensions, which in part may help get through the Senate, but is it something that you can go along with to dilute brain drain aspects and send some of the money that direction?
Yes, I could. Again, as I understand what they did, it would enable these two great leaps forward, more scholarships for our kids, dollars that would strengthen higher ed, and especially those activities that are likely to lead to high-paying jobs in the future. And then any overage would go to another important problem that I didn't think about but could have, and that is to help our localities with this big looming issue that's out there. So I thought this was a constructive idea, and yes, I could live with it.
Is the billion-dollar basement that they set on the sale, is that a problem, or do you think that's easily cleared basement anyway?
You never know until you ask the market. Our best estimate is that this is certainly in the ballpark. And it's a threshold that might well be met or surpassed. But I think it's a useful suggestion to say if it's not that much, then maybe this isn't worth doing. But every estimate we have suggests that we could realize at least that much. And I remind you, still keep getting all the revenue we're getting today on a perpetual basis.
Governor, you mentioned a short while ago that the legislature has existing tools to lend oversight to privatization projects. But isn't it the case that your administration negotiated the contract with the IBM coalition at a time when there was no opportunity for legislative oversight? And some of the reaction now that we're seeing from the House Democrats is a direct result of not being part of the process.
They had 2 years. It was the longest, most careful, most open process there's ever been. The state government, before our time, signed several contracts larger than this one with no such process at all. Nobody seemed to be upset then. And so I'm not saying there isn't some addition to today's mechanisms that would not interfere with the need for government to save taxpayer dollars and move quickly to become more efficient. There may be. I want to look at the new concept of Controller General, whatever it's called. But I think that this should be seen for what it is, an attempt to freeze in place inefficient, wasteful, big government at the expense of the taxpayer. And not good practice, and I'm duty-bound to say so.
Senate took a look this week at moving the primary to March. Does it yet have enough of a voice in presidential nominating? Is that the way to change it?
No, we don't have any voice at all, I'm afraid to say we probably never will. You know, it's too bad. I think there's a lot of problems with the way we Americans are handed their two nominees, but not on our priority list, and probably not something we could solve if it was.
Why not move to March if that's all the problem?
While creating new ones, so. Dual primaries, or so.
Are you going to endorse anybody in the Republican field for president?
Not that it matters to anyone, but I have allowed Senator McCain, who I've known since he was a Navy captain, to list me. I want to make it very plain. I think certainly the three front runners are all terrific. I could gladly support any of them if nominated. Probably others too. Yes, those three. I feel that I know them all, but there's a personal friendship and an admiration that I have for John McCain and the kind of American he's been. And I couldn't tell him that I wouldn't vote for him if I got the chance. Thank you.